Hello and welcome to another episode of Tech Enthusiast. I'm Neil.
And I'm Simon. And the past few weeks have been pretty good to Elon Musk.
They have, yeah.
When you look at the stats of the Model 3 release, because the Model 3 is obviously, it's definitely the most affordable, but I wouldn't say it's an every person's electric car. Still a bit expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, as affordable cars go.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely perhaps at the starting point of the luxury price range of cars. I think it's probably fair to say $35,000 is still a lot of money for a car.
But it's not dissimilar to the Nissan Leaf price in the US. That's around $29,000.
That's true. And also, I suppose, if you're thinking US prices, $35,000, that brings it down to, what, £23,000 maybe?
Well, if we're going for exact currency conversion, yeah, but
I know.
That's not the price we're going to get, is it?
What they generally do is they remove that dollar sign and put a pound sign in front of it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's the price.
Yeah, basically. You do kind of get boned, but...
Yeah, well, I suppose our sales tax is slightly higher at 20%.
There is that.
Yeah.
It is a very nice-looking car.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, obviously I can't judge, but as I was saying, really, is it?
It's, let's put it this way, it's nicer than any car I've ever owned.
Well, that's still not great praise.
It's no... But no, it is. It's very, very nice looking car. And it doesn't look like they've really scrimped on any of the tech particularly either. It makes you wonder how they've got that price point, to be honest.
I suppose that tech becomes commoditised so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, what was cutting edge a few years ago is now a commodity. So yeah. If you think if they're using a lot of the same technology that they're using on the S, has the S been out 4 or 5 years now?
It's coming up for that, isn't it? Yeah.
So that means the technology should definitely be getting far cheaper to integrate into the 3.
Yeah.
But what really interested me is the dash controls, or perhaps we should say the lack of a dashboard control system.
Yeah.
So why don't you describe to people what the dashboard setup looks like, Neil?
Basically, in the centre of the dashboard, I suppose, in the centre of the car, is a 15-inch touchscreen. And that's where everything is. You don't have any speed dials or anything like that that you would normally see just behind the steering wheel on most cars. It's all going to be on this 15-inch touchscreen dash in the middle.
Now, the way I read it, so obviously I can't see the pictures, is that touchscreen was on some kind of pedestal, is that right? Or is it integrated into the dash?
Do you know what? I've not seen any internal shots. What I'm saying there is going by what I've heard and read rather than seen.
Well, I believed it to be on some sort of pedestal, but it's difficult. We should have probably grabbed some images of that to confirm.
Yeah.
Some good research we did there, Neil. Some good research.
Oh, yeah.
But the lack of dials is interesting because traditionally, in just about every car that I've ever been in, there's obviously been dials behind the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So to move away from that, it's definitely a signpost that this car is going to be self-driving, if not at release, quickly after release.
That's how it feels, isn't it? The fact that you're not actually going to need to be checking those dials as often as you may think, because the car's going to be doing a lot of the driving for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to self-driving cars. It means I can actually have a car, which...
Yeah.
It'd be a great breakthrough. The range is pretty good still as well, isn't it? It's over 200 miles.
220, yeah. 220. Which when I think with the when the P90D came out. I'm sure it was P90D. One of the things they were talking about, because the earlier models of Teslas, you wanted higher range, you had to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing with the P90D was you were focusing more on, if you were paying more, you were getting more luxuries. The range increased very, very minimally.
Yeah.
The more you paid. And I think that's how it needs to be.
Well, they've just announced a 100 kilowatt hour battery for the S.
Yeah.
So that's going to increase range a little bit.
We've got the X as well, which is only...
Well, just got a recall today.
Maybe
we should say it had a good week with a bit of band in there as well.
Well, yeah.
The third row of seats, apparently the reclining mechanism is can be faulty. It, for the first 15 crashes that they did, it was fine, but then they changed the parameters on the 16th test crash they did, and they got it to fail. Because apparently the third row of seats is manufactured externally, not by Tesla themselves.
Bizarre.
So they're saying that the external provider's picking up the cost anyway. So they've recalled all the US-built Model Xs today.
Crazy.
I'm sure they'll fix it pretty quickly, just like they did the seatbelt issue that was fixed.
Yeah, they do seem pretty good with that, but I guess they've got to be, because they've got such scrutiny on them, really.
Well, they're on a pedestal and everyone wants to knock them off.
Yeah.
So if they're not recalling at the slightest issue, people are just wanting them to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does need to be super cautious, although Neil still hasn't got his Tesla S.
Oh, and, no way.
I know, it's supposed to deliver while we were away in Africa, but apparently they usually email you by now saying it's going to arrive.
Yeah.
So he hasn't got the email, so he doesn't think he's actually going to get it when it was supposed to get. Although he has got, apparently, a really nice Tesla charging station now.
Well, I mean, yeah, imagine how fast he can charge his phone on that.
Yeah, I know. I know, as soon as, when he gets it, he says it's going to pop up, so we'll all have to go out on his Tesla and destroy the range on it.
Yeah, I would be queuing up for a ride in a Tesla. I'd love to have a look at one firsthand.
Oh, God, talking about cool cars, we were driving from the supermarket today. You know, they've built a new road into the village.
Yes.
Some kit cars went by. They must... Oh, I forgot what they're called. But you know, like, the standard kit car shape, because Sean described it as, oh, yeah, that's a da-da-da-da. But I can't remember what it's called. Right. So they went by. Then Lamborghini shot by. Then Porsche shot by. Then some supercar Sean could even identify. So then it kicked off a conversation that if we could afford those cars, would we actually buy a Lamborghini nowadays? I was like, you know what? I'd get a Tesla S.
Or
a Model X. Even if I could afford the Lamborghini. But then I said, you know what? I suppose if I had a huge amount of money, I'd just buy the Lamborghini as a toy. And Sean said, well, that guy's number plate actually says toy.
Speaking of keeping on Tesla, I know there's other Elon Musk related news as well, but did you see there's going to be a Tesla GT kind of racing league?
Oh yeah, I did see. I did see it's going to be, because there's also going to be the self-driving electric racing league as well.
Yeah, that starts at the end of this year, that one. And the design was actually released for the cars. The design they want for the, well, it must be the design for the cars because it starts later this year, but yeah, they've really kind of taken in consideration the fact that these cars are completely driverless, so there's no need to kind of stick with the conventional car design.
They look really aerodynamic as they like, I suppose, cars.
Yeah, they look really kind of space agey, kind of thing you'd see in a sci-fi movie or something.
So do they have to stick to, I don't know if you know much about the F1 rules, but the F1 car designs, they're given a box, then the car has to fit within that box. So they can make the car look whatever they like as long as it fits, you know, within this imaginary box.
I think...
So are the cars, like, physically the same size, or...?
I'm not sure if... Because what they've said is the real challenge with those driverless ones is that it's going to be about the algorithm, because they're not remote control, they are... Yeah. Driverless completely, so they're going to be driving themselves, and it's going to be who can build the best algorithm for the track or whatever.
Because it's whether you go for all that aggression.
Yeah.
Whether you go for, because obviously there's a lot of race car drivers have different styles. Some are super aggressive. Some manage the tyres really well.
Yeah.
Some are really good on terms of how the corner to get more speed as they come out. So yeah, I suppose what is the best algorithm for the best racer? And does that change on a track basis?
Yeah, it probably does. So, yeah. It'd be interesting to watch anyway, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It'd just be cool to... I mean, just the pure spectacle of it. It's a race being driven by robots. It's literally something out of a sci-fi movie.
The robots are taking us over, Neil.
Yeah, first they came and they took our racing away from us.
Could they not have taken away like the rubbish things, like, you know, all the chores, like cleaning and...
Well, they do. We have dishwashers and Roombas and things like that.
No, so. But I'm thinking the entire process in terms of it can load the washer, it can empty the washer, it can do the ironing.
You're all about the labour saving.
Yeah, you know, I just want to sit. Oh, then again, maybe we need to be going even further than that, just clothes that clean themselves. That's the future. I don't need a robot to do it. I just need the clothes that clean themselves.
Yeah, I mean, get on it.
That's it. That's next week's idea. That's what.
You've put it out there now, though. It's going to get taken.
That's true. So Elon Musk's other mech. How can one man have so many incredible successes?
Real life Tony Stark.
He is, isn't he? Because the fact that this spaceship can take off, deliver an inflatable pod to the space station, that's what it was carrying.
Yeah.
Incredible, right there.
Yeah.
Then it comes back down to Earth and then lands on a self-sailing barge. And then it lands itself on this barge.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And when you see the footage of it, it's literally, it just looks like, it looks too quick.
Does it look like something from Thunderbirds?
Kind of, yeah. But you know, like...
I imagine, so it doesn't like hover for ages, it just goes boom and does it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it doesn't hover, yeah, because in my head, it'll hover for ages until it like figures it out and then go down. But it's literally like it's figured out the thrust so perfectly that it just looks like it just slows down and then lands.
Really?
It's absolutely crazy.
That sounds even cooler than I imagined it in my head.
Yeah. that's the thing, yeah. I was literally like watching it and being like, all right, no, that is not what I expected. It just seemed too quick.
Well, do you know now they've actually got to send someone out to weld it to the barge?
What?
Because, obviously, if it moves the barge, it could topple off.
Oh, right.
The rocket. So they weld it to the barge, and then they sail it back to dock, and then obviously they just break the welds, and then they pop it off the barge.
That's bonkers.
That's how they do it. But that's how they also transport famous people's or rich people's yachts.
Yeah.
Because there's a boat that sinks down, and then you weld the yachts to that boat, and then that boat raises out the water, then sails them all over the world, so you don't have to crew your yacht to get it to where you want to sail it.
Talk about first world problems.
I don't know. If you're having to weld your yacht to another ship, you know, what's the world come to, eh? Hey, I'll tell you what, I bet you there'll be a market soon for devices that go in those yachts that just sail them for them.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, I was seeing something the other day and it was talking about, like, because you already get some, like, self, like, piloting ships, don't you?
Well, the massive...
the big tankers.
Yeah, they're all automated.
Yeah, it just makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because if we can do it with cars, surely the it's easier for boats, ships. Maybe I'm completely misunderstanding how ships work, but it just seems like it would be easier because shipping lanes would be easier to do than roads, surely.
Yeah, you'd imagine you'd be able to detect an obstacle further off, and they're not going at 70, 80 miles an hour either, are they?
Exactly, and they're all tracked.
Yeah, you'd have thought it'd been easy, but there are a lot of like drone search and rescue devices.
Yeah.
They just go out there and float around and help with search and rescue. But, so many things are going automated and self-driving, sailing, flying. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is quite crazy. It's an exciting time to live, Simon.
It is. I just want that self-driving car next week.
I'm sure you'll have it.
Yeah, I'll have to persuade Elon Musk to donate. So I'm sure there's lots of people that send Elon Musk messages saying, can I have it for cars? I really want one.
Yeah, it's all about having that perfect sob story, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you get the right sob story, that they'll give you anything for free.
Yeah.
Let's move on from Elon Musk because it just depresses us all because none of us can seem to reach his levels of productivity. He's a robot.
It's self-driving Elon Musk.
That's what it is. It's a robot. No, that's how it's so productive. It's not even human.
I think you might be on something.
Could be. So what else has been in the news?
Well, Xbox. A little bit of Xbox news. They have finally come out and said something that they said right from the beginning when they announced the Xbox One. They said that every Xbox One was going to be a dev kit. And here we are. What is it? Is that 3 years down the line? I think we're three years down the line.
Because we were talking about the Xbox One and what it could do when we were commuting together.
Yeah.
So that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like three and a half years down the line now. And actually, they're making good on that. You're going to be able to develop universal apps for the sort of Windows 10 infrastructure on an Xbox One.
It certainly makes it more affordable.
Yeah.
Because getting into the developer program, sure, is very expensive historically. It's got to be four-figure.
Yeah, to get a hold of an actual dev kit, yeah. Especially for, like, the whole point is making it more accessible so that anybody who's got the skills can do it. And
well, if anyone wants to develop the skills, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. And I think they've announced that for companies it'll be $99 and for individuals it'll be $20.
Do you know what? Surely this is going to be great. Everyone should be developing for Xbox and stuff in universities and colleges and schools.
Yeah.
Could be a really interesting platform to develop on, because then you can make it cross-platform anyway.
Exactly, yeah. And just things like people that have got websites, they're going to be able to make their own app for the Xbox that plays their YouTube videos or whatever. You know, it's going to make it so easy to be done and really cheap to do.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can essentially have your own channel on the Xbox.
That is pretty cool. Although Grayson doesn't even turn on his Xbox One, regretting buying him that.
Really?
It's because I think he always wants to play with someone.
Right.
So then Sean doesn't often have enough time to sit and play with him. And obviously if I could see, I'd probably be playing games non-stop with him. So
yeah.
maybe it's a good thing.
Is he just playing Minecraft on other devices then?
He's playing Terraria on the iPad. That's his game. He's loving Terraria on the iPad.
Fair enough.
All I ever hear about is Terraria. He wakes up in the morning, and the first thing he'll say to me is, "I've had an idea about Terraria." He absolutely loves that game. It's been a good couple of weeks in the accessibility world as well.
Yeah.
Well, amazed by Facebook, disappointed in Twitter. You know, I'll start with Facebook. Facebook have brought out automated alt tagging of photos. If you're not aware what alt tag is, an alt tag is basically a tag you can give an image so it describes what's in the image.
Yeah.
So now that's automated on Facebook. So every image on Facebook, they use sort of object recognition to take a good guess at what's in the photo, so it actually says on the photo, "image may contain." And while it's not fantastic, it's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And the amount of images that were uploaded to Facebook on a daily basis,
it's crazy.
Is mind blowing. But, you know, I understand exactly why they did it. It's for advertising.
Yeah.
It's for advertising, and it's for advertising on Instagram.
Of course.
They need to know what's in the images. They can't rely on people to tag them. They've needed it for years. And I believe his name is Matt King, came over from IBM as a blind developer to work at Facebook.
Yeah.
And he's worked on the system. Because that was always my argument for a massive business case for it. You need to know what's in those images for searching images to work.
Yeah.
If you're going to tag them, you might as well tell blind people what the tags are.
That's blind people are customers too.
Exactly. So Facebook have done a great step forward in accessibility. I know a few people in the blind community really moaning about it. There's always people that, you know, like and dislike things, I suppose. But they're saying that, well, it's not as good as a person telling me what's in the photo.
Well, no, of course it isn't.
No, because it's quite early stages object recognition. It's a computer.
And it's only going to get better with time.
And also, you know, if me and you were looking at a photo and I said, "Neil, what's in this photo?"
Yeah.
Right, you'd go into far more contextual detail. You'd say something like, "Oh, that's Sean. and she's drawing one of her books, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because you'd have so much contextual knowledge of that scene that you can add layers and layers of detail. And some of the people that I've been commenting on their sort of posts seem to believe that this computer system should be capable of that. I'm like, where's this getting the contextual information from? It's no idea. It's going to take a while for it to learn, for it to be able to say, don't get me wrong, I would imagine within 2 years it'll be able to say, it's a photo of you and Neil.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously,
it's definitely going to know those things.
Because I think that they come out and say that Facebook can basically automatically facially recognise anybody who's got a Facebook account at this point. However, they don't implement it because it scares the willies out of people.
They know everyone. They could easily do facial recognition. It's not a problem. And this is why I was interested in talking to Facebook, because they're creating some fantastic tools, as do other companies, because Google were the first company to do this, you know.
Yeah.
They did it, I think it was like 1 or 2 years ago now. But the problem with Google doing it, what were they going to implement it on?
Yeah, true.
They don't have the massive social network to flick a switch and boom.
Well, they do, but nobody uses it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So they didn't have the ability to have massive uptake. So Facebook really has the power to do incredibly interesting things and instantly get it in the hands of a huge amount of people.
Yeah. And, you know, to a certain extent, there is going to be that thing. If people are tagging the people in their photos anyway, there is the potential for it to start saying things like, you know, Paul and David are at the train station or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now we'll move over to what Twitter have done. They've made a step forward. I'll give it to them. But they're allowing people to manually add an alt tag. So if you put up a photo, it's on you to describe what's in the photo.
Right.
Now, arguably, you have the ability then to add all those extra layers of contextual information.
Yes.
But are you honestly going to do that for every photo?
No. The whole point of the whole point of Twitter as a whole is how easy and quick it is to post something. If you've then got to take that photo and go, and then think about tagging anything. When you're tagging anything, even hashtags in a tweet, trying to think about what tags to use to make it relevant is a nightmare in itself.
Yeah. So, Twitter, obviously a lot of photos get uploaded to Twitter. I can't believe they didn't go the automated route, because it'd be handy for advertisers for those guys too.
Yeah, definitely.
I know Facebook have got a massive artificial intelligence department.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's in France. And perhaps Twitter don't have that. You know, Twitter have gone down the analytics route so heavily that perhaps they sort of missed the ball on the artificial intelligence that everyone else is heavily investing in.
Yeah.
So you can't overnight all of a sudden go, hey, yeah, let's do some lots of artificial intelligence. Oh, no, we haven't actually got anyone to actually do that. And I think they perhaps got trapped in that. But overall, social networks definitely moving towards being more accessible, which is always good news.
Always, yeah. And again, it's baby steps, isn't it? You start out and it'll just get better over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's that whole instant gratification thing these days. People expect a fully formed, amazing thing right out the gate. And it's just not realistic.
There's a few steps, and I think they've done this to show just how much they can do iteratively, to show off what they're capable of. But for example, if a image has text in it, say, image may contain text. Now, how simple is it to do OCR on that text?
Yeah.
It is so simple. So I would imagine that is going to be implemented very soon, because it's so simple to do. It's been available as a plugin for Chrome for quite a while.
Yeah.
So I can't see why they wouldn't go, oh, yeah, quick, let's do that, done.
And the amount of images with text in that get used these days just for a shorthand way, especially on Twitter, it's like, I want to say something, it's more than 140 characters, I know, an image of text solves that problem, but obviously not for everybody.
Yeah, so OCR needs to be done. I'm confidence coming in the next few months for sure.
Yeah. Well, sticking with Twitter, Twitter have got the rights to broadcast some of, but not all of, Thursday night football for the NFL.
I don't even understand right now how this is going to work.
No, I don't.
What Twitter think they're going to benefit from it? Because, okay, let's say I've got a video stream of the game on my phone.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's just assume that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then how do I send a tweet while I'm watching the video stream?
Because
then is there a little text box underneath? So that is massively shrinking the size of the video.
Yeah.
Now, if this is on the iPad or the iPad Pro or like a 12-inch Samsung tablet or something, I see it. If you can cast it to the television, great. But if it's on your phone screen and there's the video and then some type of text updates or ability for you to post text, I don't see how you fit it on the screen.
No, I don't. The only thing I can think is, like, they could use some form of like Xbox or PlayStation app or an Apple TV app or something like that. But it's not going to be to every single Twitter user then, is it?
No. So I right now I don't get how they're going to integrate tweeting within a live video stream. Because have you seen Periscope?
Yes.
Right, so it has the video at top, doesn't it, and then the text box underneath.
Yes.
So can you imagine watching an NFL game in that tiny box?
Well, I mean, when you're using Periscope and other people's comments are like overlaid on the image so you can see the image through it, but the moment you tap on the text box to type something in, 50% of your screen is your keyboard.
Yeah.
So while you're typing a message, no, you can't see what's going on screen.
Because, a football game, sure, there's tons of graphics and stuff coming up on the television feed anyway.
Yeah.
So then why do you want an overlay with additional information? I don't get it.
How many people do you think use Twitter on computers compared to mobile users? Because obviously there's
not many.
I was going to say the percentage has got to be low, because the other thing I could think of is, you know, if you're doing it on your PC, then it's not really an issue. But
I haven't used Twitter on a PC in ages.
No, I haven't. I haven't either. I can't even remember the last time I used Twitter on a PC.
It's got to be mobile. Come on. But I don't get it. I really don't understand. Apparently they got it dirt cheap,
which is bizarre.
They got it, they bidded lower than other companies, but they still won.
Well, they must have something up the sleeve then. Part of their bid must have been an explanation of how they're going to do it, and the NFL went, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be something that we can't even think of that they're doing that's going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I've got no idea. I can't conceive of what it would be.
I'm just struggling with the fact that of everyone they could have picked, why pick a service that can only display it on a really small screen? That's what blows me away.
Unless, again, obviously you've already got your NFL apps on.
Well, if
Xbox, etc. They're going to integrate it into the NFL app. But then it's the NFL app and it's the NFL that broadcasting it, not Twitter. I don't understand.
Well,
I've got no idea.
One of the sort of pieces I read was saying that it's a great way to make it instantly global.
True.
Because then every Twitter user in the world can watch it. And what's more important, the size of the screen or the size of the audience you can touch.
True.
And I think it's definitely the latter.
I think it's a bizarre one as well, because you get a lot of weird goings on with the NFL as well, with like blackout games and things like that. And obviously if it's on Twitter, how do you can't police that, surely.
Well, they announced earlier that they're now not going to stream the London games as well.
Really?
Because of the Twitter deal.
Oh.
Who knows?
Not me, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what news I've been reading this week, and it still just really upsets me. Where's my Amazon Echo?
Oh, because we still can't get it in the UK.
We still can't get it in the UK. And I'm just reading more and more pieces about how great Echo is, that it could take over the automated home.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You can do lots of integration. You could now even turn a Raspberry Pi into your own Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
And that was an actual Amazon developer which released the information to do that.
It does just seem to be growing and growing. I think it's one of those... I've seen some sites referring to it as a sleeper hit. And I think it always had that potential. And I think it was always good at what it did. It just didn't do that much. But it's being expanded upon almost weekly at this point, it feels like.
Yeah, they seem to have definitely moved forward far better than anyone else. I mean, Apple HomeKit, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
Who even knows? You know, why have Google not got some kind of home automated system?
There always seems to be rumblings that they have or that they're working on something, but nothing ever comes to light.
Well, I think that's because they expected Nest to do it, but Nest has just fallen apart thanks to Tony Fadell.
Yeah. Because there was the On Hub as well, wasn't there? The Google On Hub. But they, I think...
Oh, no, I spoke about that in a podcast with Andy.
Oh, right.
Right, I'm having problems with my Wi-Fi at home at the minute.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, why don't I splash out on a Google On Hub? Go on then. Let's jump on Amazon and see how much it is. £280.
What?
£280. Like, are you kidding me? That's an insane price tag.
I think one problem with the On Hub as well is generally your router isn't somewhere prominent in your home.
No, well, I've just signed up tonight to a new ISP.
Right.
It's BT. And it says that if you're going to use, because I've also gone for the BT TV package as well.
Right.
So you've got to hardwire your BT TV box to your hub.
Okay.
Has already then restricted my location for it.
Yeah.
Because I've got to stick it behind the TV.
Yeah.
Where else can I put it? I'm not going to run a network cable all the way across the room, am I?
No, So I think that's the problem with the On Hub. I think that they kind of had that idea of being, hey, we're going to be a router that is also the equivalent of an Amazon Echo. But, yeah. Where is your router? It's usually squirreled away somewhere.
Yeah.
Not in the middle of a room, so that the directional mic can pick you up wherever you are.
Well, my Sonos is where I would put an Echo if I had an Echo.
Yeah.
Although Sonos shifted their staffing around to go more towards voice-controlled conversational UIs.
Oh, right.
So Sonos could still come out and do something impressive, but the only Sonos with the microphones in is the new S5.
Right.
And I'm not too sure how many microphones it's got, because the way the Echo works is it's got, you know, it's a cylinder. It's got six microphones around the top of the cylinder, so when you speak, it sees which microphone has the strongest audio signal of your voice, then it blanks out the other five microphones.
Right.
So that's why...
So it's not picking any background noise up.
That's it. That's why it can pick you up through conversation and other audio.
Yeah.
It's using the microphone, the different microphones.
Yeah. That's always an issue I've when... Because I've got an Xbox One with Kinect.
Yeah.
But if you're playing a game, obviously your Kinect is right either on top of or underneath your TV. And if something cool happens, and the whole point is you can say, Xbox, record that. If you've got your TV turned up, it struggles to pick up what you're saying from the speakers.
Why didn't they put the microphones in the pads?
It's a good question.
Because the pads are near your face. Well, it's closer to your face than the Kinect is, yeah.
Well, definitely, yeah. So that can be in it, yeah. Hmm.
Oh, we should have worked for Microsoft, Neil.
We always say good things.
Hey, we have. As much as I'm a massive fan of Apple,
yeah,
I always want Microsoft to do well.
Yeah.
You know, it was Microsoft that got me into computing. you know, I've used Linux, I've used OS X, but I've still got a soft spot for Microsoft. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I think Windows nowadays is trash. But I still want them to succeed because they do fantastic projects. They do incredible research and development.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of their stuff just never sees the light of day. It's a real shame. And the Xbox, it, you know, if it had been the console it was supposed to be, rather than everyone getting really scared about some of the big steps forward that were taken.
It was a brave move, I always thought, that they were trying to do, and people reacted badly to it.
Yeah.
And I can see why, but that is the ultimate future, and they had to take a half step.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame.
Anyway.
Other tech news, Neil. You got anything else?
Other tech news. April is mobile phone month. There's about 70 different Android phones out this month.
HTC 10. We've got the P9.
Yeah.
Dual camera that beat Apple to it.
It's a nice looking phone. They all seem to be nice looking phones, to be honest.
I think we've got to a point now where Apple were way ahead, you know, on industrial design.
Yeah.
But everyone's caught up.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the only way Apple are now going to take that next big step forward is if they move away from aluminium and do another material that no one's got the capacity and ability to do right now.
Yeah.
Because everyone always thought, well, I always thought they were going to switch over to carbon fibre when they employed those carbon fibre specialists.
Mm.
But then they've never made anything. That was in 2012, so 4 years ago. They hired all the carbon fibre guys, but they never did anything in carbon fibre. It may be something in ceramic. But unless the iPhone 7 takes a massive leap forward in industrial design,
yeah,
I think everyone's caught up.
Well, I'm in a bit of a mobile phone, not dilemma, but I am making mobile phone considerations at the moment because
I'm
my
for the Nexus IO soon.
Well, this is
May.
Yeah, in May. Yeah, but when's the Nexus going to come out? What, October?
No, because the Nexus usually comes out before the iPhone, doesn't it?
It was October last year. Nexus.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hang on. So does that mean I had the iPhone 6S when I ordered the Nexus?
God, I think you did.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you did.
You're right, I had the 6S, then I ordered the Nexus, sent it straight back. Do you know what? If I were you, I'd just get the P9.
Do you reckon?
Well, that's who makes the 6P.
Well, that's the other consideration.
It's like Google are making that phone themselves.
My only issue is, because I've got OnePlus 2 at the moment,
yeah,
which doesn't yet have the Oxygen version of Marshmallow.
Mm.
And already Android N is in beta. And I just find it so frustrating because when I had an iPhone, I nearly always went on the betas.
Yeah, we used to buy into the programs back in the day.
Exactly, yeah. Because I like being on that. I like knowing exactly what's going on. I like being right up there at the forefront
of tech, really,
the new software. Exactly. So if I'm like, oh, brilliant, there's new software out, and 6 months later I get it, that's not good enough.
6 hours, guys, 6 hours.
It's that instant gratification again.
Well,
you know, I'm hearing about features now that I probably won't see for a year if I stay on phones that aren't Google branded.
So outside of Google, does anyone update as quickly as they do?
I don't think they do. I think Samsung are probably the first ones to come at it, but I think they're only just getting around to
it's because the guys,
Marshmallow now.
They don't have a big enough internal testing department.
Yeah.
Whereas Google obviously tests it on their own handsets.
Yeah. But I mean, there can't be many phones out there at the moment that have got Marshmallow on them, despite the fact that it's been out for a good few months.
Yeah. That's the problem.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
There needs to be... Well, maybe... Surely the P9, because they make the 6P, that is going to go quickly into the updates.
I don't know if it's releasing with marshmallow on it, is it? I don't know.
Sure, it's got marshmallow. It's got to have marshmallow on it.
What do you reckon?
Well, maybe we should mention about the dual cameras.
Yeah.
Because yeah, so, one's monochrome.
Yeah.
And one's RGB. And apparently the reason is, if you use a monochrome sensor, you get better or improved light sensitivity.
Yeah.
So then it combines the lighting information from the monochrome sensor with the RGB photo to create a better photo.
That is, yeah.
Obviously, crazy. And then you can also, if you want, you can take photos in monochrome if you really want to.
Yeah.
But it does make me wonder if that's the approach Apple are going to take, whether they're going to use a monochrome and a colour.
Hmm.
It's definitely going to be interesting, because Apple, I'd say, are definitely going to do a dual camera. It's the next step forward in camera, because you're limited in terms of thickness of the phone and real estate in the phone. So the only way to massively improve quality is to begin to use multiple sensors in different cameras. But apparently the big thing missing on the P9 is optical image stabilization.
Right.
So if the iPhone releases dual cameras with optical image stabilization, then it's still at the forefront of camera technology. Will you go and see if it had marshmallow?
I am, yeah, and I'm not really succeeding in finding out, to be honest. No. P9 and P9 Plus release date specs, everything you need to know.
Surely it must be. It's got to. There's no way they'd release it not with a marshmallow.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Specs, hardware, cameras, software, blah, blah, blah. So it's got the Emotion UI 4.1 interface sits over the top of Android 6.0 Marshmallow. So, yes, it's got Marshmallow, but guess what? It's got a bunch of dodgy software sitting on top of it that'll make it run like a dog.
Why do they do it?
I don't know. So annoying. That's why I go with my LG G3, was it? I had the chills. LG G3. Because it was supposed to be an amazing phone, but because it got all of this dodgy, nasty software sitting on top of it, battery drained in hours. It was just pointless.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what, Neil's got a Sony phone and he loves it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, I know somebody who's got a Sony phone. They swear by him.
Yep, he's gone from iPhones to Sony.
Yeah, Xperia phones. Yeah. They swear by him. They say they're really, really cool phones.
Yeah, he loves a Sony. Oh, so, yeah, I'm sure. Well, these episodes are going to be full of phone news for the next few months.
Forever.
Yeah. Well, HTC 10 comes out tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
Right.
So hopefully that'll be stripped back. Because BlackBerry just announced they're releasing two new phones this year.
I know. Did I talk about the Priv last week? Or the last time we...
I think that was a private conversation.
Yeah, I went into a mobile phone shop where they got the BlackBerry Priv on display. And it's actually a really, really nice looking phone.
Problem's the price tag now.
Problem's the price tag. And doesn't it run... It's dual operating system, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's got a BlackBerry operating system and Android on it.
God. They went too high.
So that could be really, really useful. However, nobody wants to touch BlackBerry phones. Because they're yesterday's pizza. They're really, really just... Yeah, they were the thing. They're not anymore.
I know. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I can remember just how hot Nokia phones were. You needed a Nokia.
Yeah.
And I can remember buying a Siemens phone and people being, why aren't you getting a Nokia? And I'm like, oh, God, I want this phone. It's a bit different. And then BlackBerries became super popular.
Yeah.
And it was all about getting a BlackBerry.
I never understood it myself.
I never got a BlackBerry.
No, I didn't. Never had one.
I can't even remember what phone I had before it went to the iPhone. It was probably a Siemens or a Samsung or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nokia was the hot thing, then Black was the hot thing.
I was Nokia all the way, including the Nokia N95, which was 2007. So that was the year that the iPhone came out.
Yeah, I remember you having your Nokia.
Yeah, and I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread, and then the iPhone came out, and it was like, oh, this actually looks really old-fashioned now.
Yeah, but you held out with that N95 for a while with me.
Well, yeah, I had it on contract. I had it on contract. I didn't have much choice. And then that was it. I was on iPhone all the way until a couple of years back.
How did I even get a contract to get the iPhone?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I ain't had a mobile phone contract now since the 3GS.
What? The phone contract that I'm on that runs out next month... I've had three different phones in that period of time. So I'm paying for a phone I don't own anymore.
Oh, that's bad, man.
Yeah, because I got it on the LG G3, and then I sold that because the battery was dreadful, and got the OnePlus One, and then since that, I bought the OnePlus Two.
Well, as of tomorrow night, I will have 5 mobile phones.
That seems unnecessary.
It does seem slightly excessive, doesn't it? I'm picking up the iPhones for using in the desert.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'm picking them up tomorrow. Because I'm having to use different iPhones while I'm in the... You know, just in terms of if I smash a phone.
Yeah.
You can't buy a new phone in the middle of a desert, so... I'm having to take a few. Although I've bought a life-proof, waterproof case.
Right.
Because if you get waterproof is dustproof.
Yes. I remember Major Nelson talking about that when he went out to the desert. Because he said, oh, I've bought a waterproof case to go to the desert. And everyone's like, oh, how stupid are you? And he went, no, it makes sense. And they went, oh, yeah, you're right, sorry.
Yeah, so I bought a full-on waterproof case, and it was £80.
Yeah.
For a case. I was like, that. An official Apple case isn't even that much.
That's ridiculous. Crazy.
So I've only got one desert proof case. The rest are going in Ziploc bags. So if I smash the first phone, then I'm going to take it out of the case and put the case on the next phone. I am not buying 3 waterproof cases at that price.
Yeah.
It's... Oh, yeah, they're just ridiculous, but apparently sand just gets in everything when you're in the desert.
Yeah, but...
Especially seeing as I'm there for a week, everything's just going to be caked. Although, talking about cool technology going to the desert, today my trekking poles for the desert arrived.
Oh, I saw you tweet that.
Oh, my God, 250 grams for the pair.
Yeah.
I went to go outdoors, and the lightest pair they sold was like something like 380 grams.
Yeah.
And then I found, or Neil found, this, small little company in England that all they do is manufacture ultra-lightweight trekking poles.
Yeah.
So I ordered them. This is going to turn into a long, drawn-out story, just so I got some poles. So I ordered them, but then they didn't ship. I was like, I really need them, because I fly to Boston on Thursday. Thursday? This week, anyway, sometime this week.
Right.
I was like, I need them before I go to Boston because I'm taking them to give to Neil.
Yeah.
And I called up the company that I'd bought them from and says, oh, look, I said, I ordered these poles for the week and they still haven't shipped. And he says, oh, yes, because they haven't been manufactured yet. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean?
did you Kickstarter them?
No. And he says, yeah, they're still at the manufacturers, they're going to get to me next week. I was like, when next week? And I was like, oh, they're not going to arrive in time. And he was like, why do you need them so quick? I was like, well, okay. I was like, okay, then here's why. So then I went into why I need them, and he went, I'll drive to the manufacturer today.
Oh, my God.
He drove to the manufacturer, and he got them
for you.
To give him the poles. Then he drove back to his company, and then he shipped them out.
That's service.
Didn't even charge me or anything. And I was like, I can't believe you've gone to that extent. His company check this out. It's called Above and Beyond. And I was like, you know what, you, this is an incredible example of going above and beyond, because I wouldn't have thought he'd have been willing to drive to the manufacturer if I'd have offered to pay him.
No.
But he just said, without me even saying anything, I'll just drive to the manufacturer and get it for you.
He's living the brand. Living the brand.
Absolutely, and I think it's because they were local companies. It's obviously an English company who've been able to drive to the manufacturer, and he's an English company. And I suppose they're just supporting each other.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't sell direct. They sell through, obviously, authorised dealers and stuff. So, yeah, it's really great. They're made out of aluminium and carbon fibre, and they weigh nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel like you've got them in your hand when you're using them.
Amazing.
250 grams for the pair, which means it's 125 grams each.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And just to bang on about how great this company is still, they're called Mountain King. I did some, you know, Googling, and I found a YouTube video. This, I forgot his name, he's like a phenomenal ultra runner, but he's super, super tall.
Okay.
And hiking poles are done on, you need to get the right height for you.
Yeah.
You know, your arm needs to be at like a 90-degree angle. So he sent them an email, and the custom made him the poles to his height. So
it, really?
Yeah. And it... it's just amazing that these small boutique companies that are that they're using pretty cutting edge sort of materials and technology to make these things are willing to just do small little one-off orders for people if you're willing to get in touch.
Yeah.
So refreshing. British manufacturing, Neil. British manufacturing.
Yeah. Brilliant. Cool. Yeah. Well, just briefly going back to my mobile phone trauma.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
It's quite all right. I will let you off. Basically, Android have announced that Android Pay is coming into the UK. And the OnePlus 2 doesn't have NFC.
Do you know what, Neil? Right. When I first had Apple Pay, used it loads. Now, I just get out my contactless credit card.
Really?
Seriously, yeah.
Huh.
It was really cool at first. But the issue
not even
is,
with the watch?
Oh, I don't even know where the watch is.
You've got an Apple Watch and you don't know where it is.
Somewhere in the house. Do you know what my problem with the Apple Watch is? Charging it. I just forget to do it. So I never end up using it. But the reason why I think I just ended up... because the dream, obviously, is just to use the phone.
Yeah.
You don't need a wallet. But the amount of transactions I have to do that don't take contactless still...
oh, yeah, true.
...is growing. Now, when I was first using the phone, I was going to very specific places which all use contactless.
Yeah.
Because one of my favourite places to use it was Starbucks. But our local Starbucks, I don't know if you know this, is now a franchise.
Oh, really?
Yep. And so's the one that I use in Sheffield. And it's the same franchise that bought those two Starbucks.
Right.
And they didn't want to pay for the contactless tills.
Ugh.
So they've gone to these really cheap rubbish tills that don't do contactless.
Yeah.
So ruined it for me.
I find with the contactless, some contactless machines are really, really obvious that they're contactless because they're either old machines that have had a unit plugged into them or they've got like these four LEDs at the top that light up when the contactless thing's happening. Mm. And for those... it's really obvious. You're like, oh, this is clearly a contactless machine. There are other ones that are far more subtle units, and I'm starting to recognise what they look like now. But quite often with those, I'd get my contactless card out, not think that it was a contactless machine, and put my card in. And as I'm putting my card in, it says, oh, touch your card to the screen. I'm like, don't! Now I've got to put my PIN in. I didn't have to.
Do you know why else I think I'm using the card a lot as well?
Go on.
Like, I was in London the other day, I went to Wasabi for lunch, and then I just gave my card to someone else, and they went and did it all. And I just gave my card back and bought lunch for everyone. Couldn't really do that on my phone.
True.
Obviously, that's for security, but that's a very anecdotal usage case. but it's so much easier. How often have I given you my credit card?
Quite a lot.
Yeah. Can't really do that with a phone, can we? Neil, take my phone.
Yeah, just keep hold of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you need my thumbprint for it to work is also...
Doesn't help.
Yeah, it does not help. Does not help. Does not help.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wrap it up there for this week's episode. But if you want to listen to us, find us online, ask us a question, suggest a topic that we might want to cover, then you can find us in all the usual places. We're on Twitter at Enthusiast Tech. You can find us on Facebook, Tech Enthusiast. And you can listen to the podcast through the website, techenthusiast.com, subscribe to the RSS, or there's always iTunes. You can search for us on there and subscribe. And I'm sure I'm missing something, YouTube. We're also on YouTube, so you can listen to us in the form of video. Which is incredibly logical. But yeah, please get in touch if you've got any questions or any suggestions, and we will do what we can to answer any of those. So that's it for this week. I'm Neil.
And I'm Simon.
That's another Tech Enthusiast.